Imagine that an adversarial foreign government was able to plant, say, 100 million sensors around the United States, things that could pick up your voicemail, pick up your text message, your photographs, your personal data, your medical data, your financial data, and banking info. So just imagine how worried we would be if we woke up and discovered that that was the case. And in fact, it is the case. That's exactly what's happening with TikTok, with more than 100 million users in the United States that have this app on their phone.
That was Liza Tobin. She's the Senior Director for Economy at the Special Competitive Studies Project, which is a nonprofit project focused on technology and national security. In the past, Liza has worked at the White House and the CIA, working to protect America's security. Liza is also a mom of two boys.
I was sure that TikTok was collecting some kind of information. I just didn't know to what extent that was true. Like my medical data? I think it's insane that that kind of data can be collected by TikTok.
This is our friend Arunima. She loves TikTok. Recently, she has started noticing something alarming. TikTok seems to know what she's talking, doing, and even thinking. What's worse is that she's constantly on the app.
I was talking to a friend recently about planning a trip. We were thinking about Europe in the summer. We were trying to see what we could do to make this summer fun. Anyways, at some point she has to leave, so I have some time to kill. I do what I normally do, which is I open TikTok. I'm just about four TikToks in when I see one that goes,
"So over the past year, I've spent a lot of time over in Europe. So I'm going to tell you my top five favorite cities that I've visited over there in the past year."
And only a few more in before I see another one titled,
"If you're trying to work out what you should pack when you're going to Europe this summer, or when you're going backpacking or traveling, this is the real, honest, raw tips."
Coincidence? I'm not so sure anymore.
Gracielli and I personally are not on the app ourselves. I got off TikTok a year ago and Gracielli 3 months ago. Initially, I found out about the data privacy effects, which did alarm me. But what was more important to me was the fact that I seemed to be addicted to the app. It seemed to control my thumbs with every scroll, and what I wanted more than anything was to break free from the chains the technology had put on me and my life. I wanted to be able to live a life without social media, knowing that I would be happier. And I really wanted to find out who I was without a feed telling me who to be.
With the piling responsibilities I had to confront, being sucked into TikTok took precious time away from me. In deleting the app, I reclaimed more autonomy over my life.
I'm still an avid user of the app. Like, I know that it's tracking some of my information, but I just cannot seem to get off of it. Moreover, I don't know what TikTok would want with my information specifically. I'm just a regular person, you know. No government office, no fancy title, just an average Joe.
We started on a journey to figure out what TikTok was tracking, which we did learn, but along the way, we started to question why so many people are on the app, even when they know all of this.
Honestly, most days my alarm clock goes off at 8:30. I wake up and I open TikTok. First thing in the morning, and I'll lay in bed and I'll scroll on TikTok. It's a routine, something that happens every single day.
Given how much you're on the app, the amount of data TikTok can collect is massive. This begs the question, who else has access to this data? And what exactly is the algorithm using this data for?
This is Data Diaries. I'm Asta.
I'm Gracielli.
And I'm Arunima.
Together, our goal for today is to answer that exact question. To start off with some context, we often scroll past the long dreaded piece of text called the terms and conditions, and we eagerly hit agree without a second thought. It is this agreement that lets TikTok do what it's doing.
So, what exactly did I say yes to?
You're agreeing for TikTok to not only spread videos that you may post, but you're giving it permission to literally dissect every single detail of your video. It will know when you're in your home, your friend's house, at school, even when you're sneakily scrolling in the bathroom.
Whoa, as a user of the app, I've consented to this information being collected?
Well, actually, yeah, you do. You hit agree on the terms and conditions. And to quote the actual terms and conditions, TikTok says, quote unquote, We may collect biometric identifiers and biometric information as defined under US laws, such as face prints and voice prints, from your user content.
In case you don't know what biometrics are, let us define it for you. Biometric identifier means a retina or iris scan, fingerprint, voice print, or scan of hand or face geometry. Besides TikTok, generally biometrics are used for identification and access control or identifying individuals under surveillance. Let me repeat that. It's used for identifying individuals under surveillance.
Gracieli, that reminds me of something very specific. In October of 2022, ByteDance, which is actually TikTok's parent company, their employees used TikTok to surveil several Forbes journalists. This was all possible because the employees gained access to the journalists' IP addresses and user data, while TikTok made a statement criticizing these employees and taking almost immediate action. It is blatantly obvious that the data TikTok tracks allowed for ByteDance employees to find these journalists in the first place. What makes the situation even worse is that the journalists being surveilled were working on a piece concerning TikTok. It is honestly wild to think about the kind of power user data has. And when that power falls into the wrong hands, devastating outcomes ensue.
Here is Dr. Jennifer King, who is a Privacy and Data Policy Fellow at the Stanford Institute for Human-Centered Artificial Intelligence. She researches data privacy and artificial intelligence, as well as issues like algorithmic manipulation and deceptive design.
There's no way to kind of use the TikTok app without your behavior on that app being very tightly observed.
If I had known this to begin with, I would have been so much more cautious about signing up. Now that I'm already on there, though, getting off TikTok is so much harder.
We understand that, which is why Liza, as a parent, has thought of a proactive solution.
My older son is getting to the age where kids start using social media. We've basically agreed that if he stays off social media, to include TikTok, of course, we will pay him each year until he reaches the age of 18. And so he likes this idea. We're going to pay him a lot of money.
Well, hey, if this was a system in my house, I certainly would not be on TikTok right now. Part of my question from earlier, though, still stands, right? What can TikTok or other third parties do with this kind of information?
A lot of the experts in this field are still working to uncover the real extent of which our data can be used. We know the impact of how data is used to optimize the platform's algorithm, and it can be really harmful to users.
Mozilla did an interesting study in this space where they set up an account for a teen boy, and within like a day or two, it's recommending content that's extremely violent and focused on shootings, which I will say as a parent, I find extremely distressing.
That was Jen talking about what the algorithm is capable of. It is nameless, faceless, not even a person, but it pushes us into the most extreme of things.
I'm not sure I've seen extreme content on my For You page, but now that I'm aware, I'll make sure to keep an eye out for it. I wonder if third parties can exploit this feature of TikTok. Maybe companies can find out what you're interested in and slowly feed you adjacent disinformation. At first, you may not be aware of what's happening. And suddenly, your reality gets completely distorted.
The business models that the companies have relied on to make money off these platforms has really pushed the content and the mechanisms that feed it in some really corrupted ways. At the very extreme, you have the instances of folks who are already, you know, vulnerable to things like potential eating disorders or even suicide, who get exposed to that content online and have a hard time kind of navigating away from it. And potentially in some cases, you know, we've seen some really tragedies occur.
The algorithm reflects and exacerbates the negativity bias we inherently have as humans.
Negativity bias?
Yes. Content of a more negative nature has a greater impact on our psychological state and processes than neutral or positive content. Because of this, we tend to engage with negative content more. The algorithm picks this up and enforces this bias to an unhealthy level.
That makes so much sense. If the algorithm responds to what content we spend most of our energy on, and we already have this negativity bias, I understand why this can lead to a very problematic situation. On the milder side, I've noticed that the app wants to retain my attention. I find myself getting stuck on TikTok, sucked into the fake world. I wonder if the algorithm makes our attention a commodity, treating it as a variable they're optimizing. I think TikTok pushes me with content based on the data they've collected that'll most likely ensure I continue to stay on the app.
Yeah, I think you make such a great point, Arunima, and you're exactly right. I'm going to tell you about something that absolutely blew my mind. It's called the attention economy, and this is how it works. The economy that we live in right now is obviously built on money, right? Like, whichever corporation can get the most money from you is considered the winner. Turns out that the corporations in the digital world, they have something more valuable to them than money, and the currency that they're really after is your attention. The attention wars are happening as we speak, and trust me, you don't want your weapon to turn into your weakness. I want you to imagine, what would your life look like if you took control of your attention and kept it sacred? Seriously, close your eyes and imagine that life for yourself. I'm waiting. Close your eyes. How does it feel to be in control of your time, of your life? How does it feel to know that social media cannot get in the way of your attention? I hope you find the strength within you to work towards a life that you love and you control. Open your eyes slowly, and let's talk about doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling is the excessive consumption of short-form videos. Besides the negative effects it has on your attention span and general health, it's a great opportunity for TikTok to know you intimately. The algorithm is optimized to enable doom scrolling. Remember the 100 million sensors Liza mentioned? The data they collect is used to keep you scrolling.
Sometimes I can be on the app for hours at a time. I start to feel bad about the time I've wasted, but I just can't seem to stop. It's such an easy form of procrastination.
This is a common experience. You're not alone. Feeling bad about the time you wasted is not a reflection of you, but of how good the algorithm truly is. I found that the only way for me to not feel guilty was to get off the app.
I relate to what you're feeling completely, and I was totally on the same boat. I decided to delete TikTok completely, but I know that that might not be the answer for you.
So, Arunima, what do you think about your relationship with TikTok now?
Yeah, so I guess the question still remains, should I be on TikTok? Well, thankfully for me, the universe answered that question. As of last week, a bill was passed in the US that either forces TikTok to divest from its parent company, ByteDance, and be sold to an American company for better data privacy and regulation purposes, or be disallowed from operating in the US. From where I'm standing, a sale seems extremely unlikely, and so my days of TikToking are very over. As for the future, though, I hope to replace that time with intentional media consumption. What this means is that that time will not be replaced by Instagram Reels or YouTube Shorts. I will consume media that allows me to learn and grow, and of course, that better protects my data privacy. I look forward to having a healthy relationship with online media consumption.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Data Diaries, Cracking the TikTok Algorithm and Data Practices. Special thanks to TikTok for listening. Listen closely one last time. Thanks to TikTok for listening.
Just before we end, there's an important announcement we're going to make about Liza's organization, SCSP. They're doing a very cool event in DC in May 2024.
They are doing a big expo on artificial intelligence and national competitiveness. They're inviting tech companies, they're inviting universities and government stakeholders to come demo their capabilities. Show them innovative things you've done in biotech and other emerging tech. You have to go if you can. Go to scsp.org to register. That's scsp.org.
You've been listening to Data Diaries, which was written and produced by Asta Bhandari, Gracielia Brew, and Arunima Srivastav, with the immense support from the Stanford Storytelling Project. The music for this episode was brought to you by Pixabay and Blue Dot Sessions. We want to give a special thanks to our two interviewees, Liza Tobin and Dr. Jen King, for providing us with much of the information you heard about today. The rest of the information was from a myriad of sources, including news articles that have been linked in the show notes. Also, thank you so much to the Sound Stories class for giving us amazing feedback, all of which we've implemented and could not have done without you. And of course, saving the best for last, thank you to our professor, Laura Joyce Davis, for walking us through every bad draft so we could get to a draft like this. We love bringing this idea to life with everyone involved, and we hope you enjoyed listening.